116. Psalm 116. Probably one of my favorite psalms. You know, when things happen in your life and you get discouraged and you have nowhere to go except, one man said, I was so low, the only way I could look was up, amen. About 3 years ago, we had a situation happen in our family that my wife had ventricular cardiac arrest. She wasn't resuscitated for 14 to 20 minutes. Unheard of, just unheard of. But she's still with us. And very early in the morning in the intensive care unit, the sun was just coming up over the Highwood Mountains, just peaking. And I was so low. You'd be married to a woman for 42 years that she's the queen of the house and just never fuss with me. Just an amazing woman. And all of a sudden, she's on this incubator and all these tubes hanging out of her and breathing for her, and she's not breathing on her own. And I said, God, I said, I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And when I was in Bible school as a young kid, the preachers of those Bible colleges said, hey, just start reading in the Bible. Just open it up someplace, start reading. And that morning I opened up to the Psalms, and I was reading through, and I came to Psalm 116. If you'd stand, please, and listen as I read, I think you'll see my heart. The sun came up not only over Montana, but the sun came up in this old preacher's heart. And, boy, it just gave me my mama, you say, gave me the spizzering to me, man. What in the world that is, I don't know, but she's talking about spizzering to me, man. I know, you're going to look it up. All right, Psalm 116. I love the Lord. Why? Because he has heard my voice. And then you could say it again, I love the Lord, because he has heard my supplication. Voice and supplication, two different things. Voices, hey mom, or hey dad, or hey Larry, or the wine. You're here Sunday morning, you'd enjoy that one, amen. Leave it alone, but anyway. So that's just saying the name. Hey, whoever, heard your voice. You're out working, and all of a sudden somebody hollers at you, you'll hear it to them. Or supplication is this, mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom, you listen to me, I'm hungry. And, of course, you mothers know what to do about that. Go about your business. You got other things to do right that moment. Amen. That is supplicating. That is begging. That is coming and saying, hey, I'm hungry. Or, Dad, can I borrow the car? Dad, I need 20. Dad, I need some, on and on, amen. New gun or something, amen. I love the Lord. Why? Because he hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Here we go. Mom, I'm hungry. Well, sit down, I'll get you something. She inclined her ear to him. She inclined her ear to her and got something for him. Whoever wrote this, most people think Hezekiah wrote this in one of the darkest moments of his life. Hezekiah had a lot of enemies. But Hezekiah, the biggest enemy was this, that he did not have a son to carry on the Davidic promise and covenant that God had promised the Christ child from. And it greatly behooved, it greatly bothered him. And Isaiah just came and said, you're going to die. And that's when the Bible said, remember, he turned his face to the wall and he began to pray and beg God not to die. And God gave him 15 more years. And a son. Amen. So most people believe this is why he wrote this. You want to sit down, or shall I keep reading to you? Right? I have to stand up here, so you might as well endure. Amen. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. Mom, I'm hungry. Mom! Okay, sit down. You know what? You just talk to that boy that every time he comes and supplicates to you, you're going to take care of him. You have just... Yeah, it's like, how many have a pet dog? Or a pet cat? Actually, the cat is not yours. He just lives there if he wants to or not. But a dog, if you give him a treat, every time he goes out and does his business and comes back in, guess what that dog's going to expect? A treat. So this man said, hey, I know. He hears my voice. He inclines the ear unto me. He listens to me. And he takes care of me. Therefore will I pray. God just spoiled this guy, man. I hope that God spoils you to death. God answers prayers. You don't have to be a preacher. You don't have to be a priest. You don't have to be a bishop. You don't have to be. All you have to be is a human being that has invited Jesus Christ to forgive your sins and come into your heart. And he promises to take care of his own. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. The sorrows of death compassed me. And the pain of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Boy, what a verse for a guy that's sitting up in a room with his wife that can't even breathe on her own self. My wife is dead. The only thing that's keeping her going is the machinery. That's it. Then call I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. Boy, I said, that's me. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto my rest. And I'll just pull over there and park a minute. You can be seated. When we read Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. That's what he's talking about here. Isn't that powerful? That's the most exciting thing when you're reading this portion of Scripture. Hey, you know what? God cares about me. And God cares about you. And God cares about those wonderful people over there in Nepal and in Tibet. God cares about those friends in Nigeria. I just talked to my friend from Nigeria, and he's going to come see us. He's been out preaching evangelistic meetings in Nigeria. That's not a good place to be for him right now. But he's telling me all the things that God is doing for him and how that God is just blessing him. Amen. God cares for us. It doesn't make any difference what color skin we are. Doesn't make any difference if we're rich or we're poor. Doesn't make any difference if we have, we're blessed by great intelligence or just kind of a bumbling idiot. He still loves us. He cares for his own. And as I read Psalm, I wish you'd take this Psalm and just dissect it and just enjoy it and just go into it and just study it and study it, because one of these days you're going to find trouble and sorrow. Like the old color preacher preached on, he said, I live on a corner of troubles and sorrows. All of us do. There's not a person in this room that did not have some kind of trouble today. I talked to a guy yesterday. He said, man, how you doing? He said, I'm doing great. And then he's trying to tell me he's never had a bad day. I said, oh. He said, no. He said, I'll tell you why I never had a bad day. My 14-year-old cousin was diagnosed with cancer. And then his brother died in a car accident. He says, I should never have a bad day when I see my cousins and brothers and the problems that they have. I thought, wow, what a great attitude in a man's life, amen. But I'm gonna tell you something, I have troubles and I have sorrows. Maybe I've been banging around this old world long enough to know that I found out where the troubles are and where the sorrows are. And it seems like I just can't get away from them. It's kind of like mud. You know, you just can't get away from it. Amen. There's troubles and sorrows. There's questions. There's things that need to be done. There's things that are not done and need to be fixed and things on and on and on and on and on. Gracious is the Lord. There's the word gracious. We get the idea of grace. Grace is God gives us things we do not deserve. That's verse 5. Gracious is the Lord. He gives us things that we do not deserve. And righteous, yea, our God is. He holds back things we deserve. You ever deserve a good whooping? Good spanking? And Dad just says, well, son, you've been through enough right now. We're just going to leave alone, but don't do it again. That's mercy. That's mercy. And then the next time he does, it's justice. The Lord preserveth the simple. He preserves us. You ever do some stupid stuff and seem like that God just helps you through it? Not a good idea to keep practicing that, amen. Once in a while, you can do something stupid and say, well, that was stupid. That wasn't very smart. That was pretty dumb. What is stupid is stupid is you keep doing the stupid thing all the time and wonder why you're always in trouble. Kind of guy, he's always late, never on time, always late. Guy says, what time does your clock say? Oh, he says, man, it's 10 minutes fast. He says, that's why you're always late. If you put that clock right exactly the exact time it is, you'll never be late. Because you're always hoping you're going to get 10 minutes. How many have ever found 10 minutes in your life? How many have ever lost 10 minutes in your life? Yeah, put it on right there. You want to know exactly what time it is? I can tell you right now. I keep all my clock exactly on. My daddy says, son, always be on time or 10 minutes early. That'll keep you out of trouble. I used to go to work at Old Time Tool Company. I'd come in a half hour early. Most of the men that had good jobs and most of the men that knew what was going on, instead of coming in on two wheels and asking everybody else what's going on, there's trouble with this machine, there's trouble with that hammer, or trouble with that forge, they're always in trouble. Hey, thank God for your job. And do a good job. And if you don't do a good job, don't tell them you're from Heritage Baptist, okay? Tell them you're from Fairview. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. What a blessed promise. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about eternal life. This man is talking about eternal life. I'm going to walk in the land of the living. Someday I'm going to stand in heaven's gates. Amen. He said, I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. And I said in my haste, all men are liars. You ever hear people like that? Everybody's against me or everybody. Sometimes you speak in haste with that. I heard one man said that everybody at my work, they're drunken, heathen women chasers. I don't think that there's a couple Christians that work at that place would really like you saying that they're women chasers and drunkards. So be very careful when you say all have. In fact, you will find he asked God forgiveness here because look, he said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Then he said, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefit towards me? I'll take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vow unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious. I was at a funeral today. And how people can be so lied to. They can be so deceived so deceived. And because you're the water of your baptism, this is why you maybe see them in heaven. What do you mean maybe? I thought Jesus Christ said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's imperative. That's straight on. You can't get it any better than that. Jesus said, these things have been written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. That's a fact. Know that ye have eternal life. There are so many Bibles out there, you don't even know which one to get anymore. Why don't you just stay with the old King James? It's a good one. It's been around 1600. It's called the Authorized Version. All the churches at one time authorized that as the Bible of the church. I suspect a lot of people who had better knowledge and languages, even better than we do today, certainly ought to know how to translate the Bible into the English language. In 1600, the English language was the purest. Didn't have all the slang we have in it today. And in one of those Bibles, in Acts there, the Ethiopian eunuch says, what hinders me to be baptized? Carly's going to get baptized tonight. Carly, baptism does not save you, does it? You're already saved. You're on your way to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pass the biscuits. Amen. I mean, tell you, man, if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. One man said you'd go to heaven dry clean. But anyway, you'd go to heaven. Baptism is a symbol, an illustration. How many of you guys tonight are full-time military right now? Would you stand up? You're full-time military, aren't you? That's full-time to me. Where do you work? Okay. Chief, come on now. Now, does anybody know these guys in the military? How can we tell that? How do we know they're in the military? Do they have their uniform on? Huh? No, they don't have a uniform on. Well, I guarantee you, tomorrow morning, I suppose you don't wear a uniform. Do you wear a uniform? Hey, just trying to help you, buddy. Put that uniform on. Is there any question if they're in the military? What happens if they put all this stuff on and they're not in the military? What is that called? What if somebody put on a police uniform tonight, walked in the building, impersonating an officer? Are you in trouble? Oh, yeah, you're going to jail. You're going to jail. You guys put the uniform on, you won't go to jail. You know why? You put the uniform on. Thank you. You may be seated. Carly, tonight when you get baptized, you're literally putting on the uniform. I am a Christian. Because you are given, you're not preaching, you're not saying nothing. I'm going to say, Carly, have you asked Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And you're going to say, yes, I have. I'll say, I now baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Bearing likeness of death, raised in likeness of resurrection. What it is an illustration of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That's all it is. It's putting the uniform on. Is he saved? Yes. And that's the problem we have with a lot of places that take things out of the Bible. It's not true. Thank God for Psalm 116. I'll tell you, write that in the back of your Bible. There's going to be some day you're going to need something really, really good. And there it is. Father, I thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity we can serve you. And I pray, God, you just bless now. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving us and caring for us. Lord, I pray tonight, if there's anyone here tonight, I'm not sure they're saved, not sure they're on their way to heaven, that tonight would be the night that they would accept you as their Savior. And folks with their heads bowed, eyes closed, you're here tonight, and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Right there where you're sitting, you can pray this prayer and ask Jesus Christ to forgive you of all your sins and ask him to come into your heart. I'll pray a prayer with you, and if you're here tonight, you're not sure you're saved, just pray this prayer. Say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I believe that you died on the cross and rose on the third day. Come into my heart. save me right now. If you're here tonight and you did that, would you just put your hand up and down? Let me thank God for you. I'd sure love to pray for you. I won't embarrass you, won't call you out. Boy, I tell you, it's the greatest thing ever happened in your life. Father, I pray you'd be at this invitation now in Jesus' name. I want everyone to stand. Everyone standing, pianist playing. You're here tonight. You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Why don't you come right now? Let me show you from the Word of God how you can know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Why don't you come right now? You're tonight and say, preacher, I want to get baptized tonight. I want to serve the Lord. I want to do what He tells me to. By the way, that's the first thing God ever tells you to do once you get saved. That's a work. You're tonight and say, preacher, I want to be baptized. Baptized tonight? Want to follow the Lord? Do what the Bible said? They that gladly received His word were baptized.